Playoff week, baby! Playoff week, we're getting down!
Today, to me, is a holiday.
Anything's possible!
You can't stop us, Brady! You can't stop us!
Sac bleu!
We're all at playoff levels right now.
Yeah. What's your problem? Come out there!
You're growing as a man, and I'm so happy to be here for you.
This is like days of your lives, man.
The light still shine.
Come on, dog. Like, what are you doing here?
You want a piece of me?
There is no answer to Josh Allen when he is fully Josh Allening.
He tends to throw a wrench into the plan. Yeah. You know what they call that? The Allen wrench. All right, as we continue on just a moment. Let me bring RC into the conversation. Rex is about to walk right into the shot. Go ahead, walk through it. Why not?
Playing ain't the same as playing.
There's a difference between cold and cold.
Being in Cleveland make you unelite at a lot of things.
Man, are you a smart guy?
If you ever won a role playoff game, that flight home, it is a party.
Can you confirm that?
I ain't never felt it.
Oh, that's a cowboy. Oh, last of that thing. Oh. Cowboy.
I genuinely felt terrible about that. If you weren't watching, those guys were telling me how much fun traveling home from a road playoff win was. And I asked Marcus.
Is it fun?
And he never did it.
Yeah.
Those guys told me it takes like a couple of days out of you.
Yeah.
That flight home.
You know what's even better?
Yeah.
The flight after a Super Bowl win.
Okay.
Oh, what a man.
Done that a couple times. I lost one, yeah.
Yeah. I'll ask Marcus that question, too, next time. Yeah. With that, we welcome you back to another hour. Coming to you live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. It's the best football Friday of the year. And let's get up here. Hour number two. Let's call this put up or shut up time at Lambeau Field. Is Aaron in trouble in what could be his home field swan song? We're going live there in just a minute. Speaking of which, Tampa Tom, is he in trouble? What will he have to do to keep his season alive? We're making our picks for the NFC games. And the stars ready to shine in the AFC. Which two will take the next step toward a super Hollywood ending? We've got all your answers. Let's do this thing on ESPN, starting this hour with the Niners and the Packers. Lambeau Field. Let's go back to week three. Jimmy G threw a go-ahead touchdown to Kyle Juszczyk with 37 seconds left. But two throws from Rodgers to Adams got Green Bay in field goal range, and Mason Crosby knocked it through for the win. Niners, though, have won three straight playoff games against Rodgers. They rushed for nearly 260 yards in those three wins, including 5 yards before contact per carry. And still, Rodgers, who's got a really good shot to win his fourth MVP this year, it's in part because of this historic hot streak. He last threw an interception in week 10, so he's thrown 20 touchdowns since last he threw an interception. And we were going to talk about the weather here for this game on Saturday night, but we thought, why not do that with an illustration? Here's Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for us so well. Rob, how would you let our audience know what the weather is going to be like?
Well, Greeny, how about that? Can you see that?
Yes, we can.
-9. And look, I'm telling you what, it has been cold here all week. It's not just right now, and it's going to be cold here tomorrow. But if you believe Matt LaFleur and the one player who ran out onto the field at practice yesterday and said, man, this isn't cold, then I don't think it's going to affect these guys. I'm just not sure how much I believe them. I asked LaFleur yesterday, were you able to get everything done outside that you wanted to, or did you need to do stuff inside? And he looked at me and he said, this was cold? I don't think this was cold. This was Green Bay. I'm not so sure. I've been here longer than he has. I'm not so sure he knows what Green Bay cold is.
So you're saying this is colder than the norm. I'm sure a lot of fans will look at it that way. Oh, they're used to it. The Ice Bowl and the Tom Coughlin red face game and all the rest of that. But those are a long time ago. This is unusually cold even for there, you're telling us.
Yeah, Randall Cobb, the Packers receiver, I asked him what he thought about how cold it's been. He's been here a long time. He likened it back to the 2013 playoff game, also against the 49ers, when it was 5 degrees at kickoff, which means it only got colder after that.
Yeah. Can we just get a quick shot of Graziano here, Cindy? Because Dan is literally, as we're done today, going to get on a plane to go there. How are we feeling, Danny?
Yeah, I've done this before. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not to play in it. It's going to be cold.
You're going to have that Tom Coughlin face.
January football. What do you want?
Let me go back to Domofsky here. Okay, let's talk about injuries. Because the Packers have managed to overcome a lot of them and still be the one seed. And now what do we have on some of these guys coming back?
Yeah, Greeny, not only are they the one seed, but they did it without a lot of these guys that might come back. And the key word there is might. We know Cobb is coming back. He had the core muscle surgery in November, and he has been cleared. He was activated yesterday. Right tackle Billy Turner, he was also cleared. He's missed the last four games because of a knee injury. But everybody else bears watching, and the key one to look at over the next 36 hours is left tackle David Bakhtiari. He came back in the season finale, played 27 snaps. It was his first action of the season, his first action in more than a year since tearing his ACL, and we all thought that meant he was good to go. Well, he only practiced one day this week, was not on the field yesterday, and now they're listing him as questionable. The same goes for their pass rushers, Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus, both of whom have missed a long period of time. So they're getting some guys back for sure, but there's a few more that we're going to have to keep an eye on.
All right, well, if I know Domofsky, then no one loves golf more than you do, but not this week. This is not a golf week. -9 in Green Bay as we speak. Well done, as always, my friend. Thank you. That's Rob Domofsky. And I have to focus on that. If you've been watching the show lately, you have figured out I'm obsessed with these weather games. When the guy says, this is really cold for Green Bay, now we're talking really cold. Is that or is that not an impact? Does it have an impact on the game? And if so, does it benefit the home team?
Well, yeah, of course it does, because you can practice in this all week and you know exactly how it's going to feel. You know how the ball is going to come off your foot if you're a kicker or a punter or a long snapper that has to keep their hands warm. And if you're the 49ers, you can't simulate that. You can't get an indoor freezer and walk in there and work on the kicking game. So, you know, I do think that it is an advantage for a cold climate team to play at home against a warmer climate team.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers coach, was talking about this yesterday, the idea that once they got to Green Bay, they have a walkthrough today. Would they do that outside just to get used to the cold, or would they do it in a hotel ballroom like they can? He was going to leave that up to the players, see what they want to do. I talked to Adrian Amos, the Packers safety. He said, yeah, it's a mindset and all that. He said, but you still know when the ball hits your hands, it's going to feel like an ice ball. When someone steps on your foot, you're going to feel that for the next 2 weeks. When you hit the ground, it's going to feel hard. And I also talked to Trent Williams, the Niners left tackle. And I said, what's the coldest game you ever played in? And he said, the 2007 Big 12 Championship. So I looked it up. And that was an indoor game. So he either meant 06 or 08. Yeah. But Oklahoma was in every year at that point, which would have been an Arrowhead Stadium. It was like 28 and 30 degrees, those games. So that's like summertime compared to what he's going to face tomorrow night in Lambeau.
All right. And so, look, I never want to move off the weather, but let's do it. Sacha, what is the most important factor in this game? Again, we talked about it. The Niners have beaten Aaron Rodgers all three times they faced him in the playoffs. What's the most important factor in this game, Sam?
It's going to be the connection between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, and if the San Francisco 49ers can stop that connection. Davante Adams is a beast, but not only in the NFL, but specifically against the San Francisco 49ers. In his four games against San Francisco, he averages 10 catches, 120 yards, 1.3 touchdowns. He gets the ball. He is going to get the ball. San Francisco, on the other hand, has given up over 100 yards to multiple receivers this year, manyfold. And so we know that they're going to have a big day. The question is, how big of a day will Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams have? That will be the deciding factor.
That's the passing game element of it. And I know, Nico, you're also looking at the running game for Green Bay.
Yeah, and balance, because when you can run the ball effectively, the play action pass really works well. And I don't think there's another quarterback in the NFL that can function and run the play action like Aaron Rodgers. In the last two seasons, he has 35 touchdowns and no interceptions on play action pass. So running
say that again. Just say that
in the last two seasons on play action, he has 35 touchdowns and zero interceptions.
Is that good?
That's good. And right? Hembo with the facts.
He's, good ratio.
He's just giving us the facts here. Yeah. So, you know, you think about running the football. Well, what does that do? That gives you the intermediate routes and the shot plays down the field. When you want to run, pull that thing out, take a shot with Aaron.
In the meantime, again, this is your game this weekend, Dan, and for all the joking we'll do about the cold, the Green Bay is not the only team that has injury news. What is the latest on San Francisco coming out with the injuries from that Dallas game?
Final injury report did not list Fred Warner or Jimmy Garoppolo, so they look like they're going to play, although Garoppolo is dealing with two injuries, a thumb injury and a shoulder injury, so he's likely not going to be 100%. And on defense, Nick Bosa, their star pass rusher, he was in the concussion protocol all week, but they listed him as questionable. They feel like he's made enough progress that if he has another couple of good days that he should be cleared to play. So they're hoping to have him back as well. all hands on deck for this one.
Oh, look, the NFC games are monumental. All four games are phenomenal this weekend, but you got Green Bay and San Francisco and all the history there, and then you got the Rams and the Bucks. That is also a rematch of Week 3. Coincidentally, both these NFC games were rematches of Week 3. In that one, the Rams at home won 34-24. Tom Brady threw for a season-high 432 yards, but got hit 16 times, or pressured 16 times. Yesterday, he talked about the challenge of avenging that loss.
All these games are a little bit independent from one another. And yeah, you know, we played them earlier in the year and a very different team we had. I think a little bit of a different team they had too. So they're each their own individual type of game, but it's a very talented football team. Obviously one of the great teams in the NFL, really good offense, tremendous defense, really well coached, great specialists. So it's going to be a very, very difficult game for us.
I mean, you think back, that was the week before he went back to Foxborough. I mean, think how long ago that feels.
Yeah, wow.
The fact that that was this season is remarkable. That said, as we were watching that video there of the Rams playing defense and getting after the quarterback, that reminded you of a game that you and Tom Brady played in together.
Yeah, an eerie, similar type of situation where you had injuries at the offensive line. You know, I go back to the 2015 AFC Championship. We lose our starting tackle. We have some backups in, and Tom was hit 18 times, the most ever in his career. DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller got after Tom Brady, and that really affected him. Usually after a game like this, you want to get on an airplane. You want to go to a nice warm area. You want to go to the beach. You want to do something. Well, he had to actually stick around a little bit to recover from this game because he was put on the turf too much. He was hit way too much in that game. And in this matchup against the Rams, they seem to be firing on all cylinders. Their offense looks good, but their defense, their front, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, last week, they were just terrorizing the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, in this matchup, I really, really, really think that their offensive line in Tampa, that is, dealing with these injuries, you know, your center is going to be banged up. You don't know if your tackle is going to be there. It's the first time that they've ever had to deal with offensive line issues in dealing with injuries. So that is going to be the biggest factor.
What was that stat you had from Hembo that they've played more, the five offensive linemen in Tampa? What was it again?
More than twice as many snaps together than any other offensive line combo in the league over the last 2 years. 1,769 snaps That's together, that crazy. Starting five offensive line. It matters so much. If the quarterback doesn't trust his protection, he is a different quarterback.
In those 2 years, so exactly the amount of time that Brady has been there. Meanwhile, Sacha, we will talk so much in this game about the Rams defense. How about the Tampa defense? It could come down to that.
Yeah, it absolutely will come down to that, to Tampa's defense. But really quick, I got to address this because we talked about this in the first hour. Tampa's defense will be great. There's no doubt about it. But to the point of getting pressure on Tom Brady, we saw Tom Brady get pressured 16 times in the first game. You don't think that Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, Tom Moore, they're going to change the game plan? Tom Brady's not going to sit there and get sacked. So I need to just address that.
Well, so that, that's, that, they're Sacha, going what to, do they do? No, let's stay there. I like you going there because I think a lot of people look at this game and say, they're dead. They're done. What do they do?
No, we just talked about it. We talked about after the injury to Tristan Wirfs, Tom Brady's time of release was the quickest that it's been, 2.1. 2 seconds. He's going to get the ball out quick. He's going to change from getting it out deep to getting it out quick. Playoff Lenny is going to show up. They're going to get pressure off him. We heard Tom Brady say it in the interview. He said, man, Leonard Fournette is going to come back. You got Gronkowski there. You have Mike Evans at receiver. I get all that, but the offense is going to change. Tom Brady is not going to sit there with an injured offensive line and sit there and get sacked by Aaron Donald, sacked by Leonard Floyd, sacked by Von Miller. They're not going to. They're not dumb. Right? They're going to change their offense and rely on the run game and also get the ball out quick until they can take their shots.
I like that. And I asked Dominique the same question during the week, and he said exactly what you just said, but that doing that limits their offense. It limits the, for lack of a better word, the diversity of the things that they could do offensively, Sam.
It does. It does. It absolutely limits their offense because they want to be a deep shot offense. And like I said, I played under Bruce Arians for 3 years and offensively, he's a genius, but he wants to take shots. That's his mindset. And so it will change the offense. But if you can run the ball, Tampa Bay loves to pass it. But if you can run the ball, it'll open up the door for your shot plays. If you can get Leonard Fournette involved, if you can get it out quick, sprinkle that in, it will open the door for your deep shots that Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians love to take.
We're going to pick the game a little later in the hour. Put a real quick final thought.
I'm not sitting here saying they're toast. Surely they have the capability of figuring it out. My point is, 2 years Brady's been there, they haven't had to deal with this.
Right.
We don't know exactly what it'll look like, and I think that's definitely worth considering.
It's what you watch for at the beginning of this game. In fact, it's what you watch for the whole game. How are they handling that Rams pass rush? Also, our DraftKings poll question of the week is this. Who will have more passing yards in this game, Stafford or Brady? DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and during the playoffs, new Sportsbook customers can bet $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code GETUP. As we continue in a moment, Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Is this the NFL's next big rivalry? And does Allen actually have the edge? Plus, who's really to blame for the Cowboys' meltdown? The playmaker Michael Irvin is pointing a finger. You need to hear what he had to say. And then, what did Russell Westbrook think about being benched? He's speaking out this morning. We will get the reaction of the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith. He's on his way in our studio as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with a game of More or Less. This is the rushing version of this. And Graziano, Tom Brady, 1.5 rushing yards versus Rams. You got more or fewer?
I got fewer. I went with the under here because of the strong chance that he kneels down at the end of the game. That comes off your rushing stats, right?
So yeah. Sacks do not, but kneel downs do.
I don't know that I'm necessarily picking them, but they certainly could win. I'm going to bet the under there.
Now he's good at the quarterback sneak though. If he has 2 of those, that's 2 yards.
I guess that's true.
At 1.5 is that's a tasty little line there.
Thanks, got a couple touchdowns. They maybe more likely kneeling down at the end of the game.
Sacha, more or less, Deebo Samuel, 37.5 rushing yards.
Less. He's going to have less. Now, Deebo Samuel is a weapon. He will have his rushing yards. He will have receiving yards. He probably will score multiple touchdowns, but I don't know if he'll get to that 37.5 number. Once again, that's a tantalizing number because there have been some games he's gone above and some games he's gone below. Recently, he has outrushed that number, but I think that Green Bay will be able to slow down the Deebo train.
And interesting props here. Ninko, more or less, Josh Allen, the number is 49.5 rushing yards.
It's kind of a lot of rushing yards. I'm going with less on this one, unless he breaks a huge run. But you'd have to imagine that the Chiefs at this point are literally putting everything on the defensive bulletin board. Stop Allen in the running game. Stop Allen. Do whatever it takes. We have to put a spy on him. We got to put a spy on him. Whoever our best player is, let's put him on Allen. So I would say less than 49.5.
Okay, so in this hour, we're going to pick all 4 of the games this weekend. And I can tell you that by the Vegas lines, this is the closest collection of games that we have in divisional weekend since 1967, which is the year I was born.
That's
so
cool.
It's been a very long time. So fascinating games. Take your time here. We'll start with Danny on this one. Bills, Chiefs, for what it's worth, the Chiefs are only 1.5 favorite. Dan, who do you like?
I'm taking the Bills. I'm just sort of on that bandwagon right now. The way that they're playing, I think they're fired up for this game. This is their revenge game from last year's AFC Conference Championship game, and I think they pull it off.
Yeah. Do they have, as ridiculous as it may sound, Do they have the quarterback advantage in this game?
I'm never going to say somebody has the quarterback advantage when Patrick Mahomes is the other quarterback. But Josh Allen is playing at a very high level and is certainly capable of delivering.
Ninkovich.
Well, in the world of analytics and numbers and history, no team has ever beaten the Chiefs in Arrowhead twice in the same season. Mm-hmm. In the history of the game. That's the going back forever. So for me, I've been really, really on the bandwagon of the Chiefs from week one through the struggles that they had throughout this whole season. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. I'm going with the weapons and Kelce and Hill. I really think that the defense has changed. They've come a long way from where they were early in the season. It's going to be a big test. It's going to be a great game, and I can't wait to watch this matchup, but I'm going with Kansas City.
Yeah, it's as sexy as you could possibly ask. How about that Kansas City defense? That's, we all have so much, I think, confidence in the Buffalo defense. They were number one in the sport this season. Kansas City, I think a lot of people can't get over the idea that they've improved so much. How do you like their defense against Dallas?
I really like their defense. I mean, they might have a bend but don't break mentality. And you're in these games, you're not going to stop teams. You're not literally going to say the Bills are going to have no yards. They're going to have some plays. They're going to make plays. You just have to make more, and you have to limit some of the big plays. You got to win the red zone. You got to create turnovers. Those are what win these type of games in the playoffs. It comes down to one or two plays. It's either an interception, it's a turnover, it's a big play in a big moment, and I've been a part of that. In the playoffs, it comes down to one or two plays.
Sacha.
Yeah, Nico said in the world of analytics and numbers and history and the Chiefs, this ain't numbers, analytics, or history. This is football, Nico. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. That football team is ready to avenge their loss, to break history, to change the numbers, change the math. Don't overthink this thing, Ninko. You can put a spy on Josh Allen, and he'll do what he did to all of the Patriots defenders, all of your friends, all of your homeboys, and your former coach. He will make them look bad. So bump the analytics, bump the numbers, bump the history. This is about pride. This is about a team avenging their loss from last year, just like they avenged their loss in week 13.
I'm bumping it too. I'm bumping them. Whatever it is you do to numbers and analytics, I'm bumping it too. I love the Bills in this game. They're playing better than the Chiefs. And the reason you've had to stay on their bandwagon all year is because there's been so much question about their bandwagon. And if you look at Mahomes' numbers, so much of it this season are built on just a small handful of games. He's had a few monster games against the Raiders, who play this defense that everyone tells me sort of falls right into his hands. Last week against a Pittsburgh team that, let's face it, was barely playoff caliber. This Buffalo defense is a whole different animal.
It is. Look, I don't feel as comfortable as you do with my pick. I mean, I think the Chiefs are a very scary team. We did see the Bengals take apart that defense a little bit a couple weeks ago, so it can be done, but yeah, I don't ever feel comfortable betting against somebody like Patrick Mahomes this time of year.
But we will see. It's the third time these teams have played.
Me neither.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm still a little bit with a throat. Third time these teams have played at Kansas City in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Right? AFC Championship game. And again during the year, they split the first two. Let's see where it goes. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, maybe this is a good sign for the Bills. I don't know how you want to read it. But Jessica Pegula, who is the daughter of the team's owners, is continuing to win. She won her third round match at the Australian Open and then signed the camera, Bills are next. Her parents, as we mentioned, own the Bills. Do you take that as a sign of anything here, Nico?
It's very impressive. I mean, just gotta give her credit for all the
accomplishment. Oh, yes, you do.
But, I mean, she's got to love the Bills, right? Isn't that like if your parents own the team, you
have to support the Bills? I would assume so. My parents owned a small bookstore, and I was fond of it.
Honestly, I would probably be in one of my
Harry Potter, you're next. That's what would your parents sign?
Exactly right. All right, we will continue in just a moment. Coming up, does Jim Harbaugh really want to go back to the NFL? Graziano's got insight that you will find fascinating. You'll hear that. Plus, the Cowboys have plenty of stars. But where were they on Sunday? Michael Irvin is pointing a finger. Stephen A. Smith will weigh in coming up next. And it's tradition unlike any other. It's Sneaky Hembo and Graziano. Here's today's question. What is the most common coaching matchup in NFL playoff history? This question I like. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and the most common matchup on this program is Hembo versus Graziano. Dan, what is the most common coaching matchup in NFL playoff history?
I don't even really have a great guess here. I'm trying to figure out. I'm thinking about the Cowboys, right? So I'm thinking it's got to be Tom Landry and somebody. But I don't have it. I mean, I don't have it. I don't know who it would be. I'm not going to make a guess.
Okay.
I don't have the.
He's not registering a guess.
I just don't have it.
It is an answer
is
that
Landry?
Brings a smile to
is
my
Landry
face.
One of them?
Landry and Bud Grant is second.
Okay.
They were
that
one behind.
Sense.
John Madden and Chuck Knoll.
There's no way I would have ever gotten it.
In a million years. The Raiders and Steelers played each other in the playoffs five consecutive years.
Yeah.
It began with the immaculate reception.
Mm-hmm.
It went on. The Steelers won most of those games. The Raiders did get that one and went on to win the one Super Bowl they had under Madden.
Good one. Good win for Hembo.
It does bring back. It puts a smile on my face because that's when I fell in love with football. Hembo, getting closer. This one I'll count. That's a reasonable question.
I like Tuesday's question.
No, Tuesday's question was nonsense. That was ridiculous. It was unfair. I dispute it. And as Stephen A. might say, it was absolutely disgraceful. Speaking of Stephen A., he has made his way in. We're going to talk about them Cowboys. Quarterback Dak Prescott fined $25,000 by the NFL for his post-game comments related to the game officials following Sunday's loss to the Niners. Meanwhile, Cowboy legend Michael Irvin called out Dak and other Cowboys stars in no uncertain terms. Listen to this.
Our stars didn't show up. We had no shot. Whenever you got disorder, dysfunction, we can't have our stars putting up role player numbers like 31 yards rushing, one catch for 21 yards, 69 passer rating, and then have our role players putting up numbers like Schultz and Wilson. That's a disorder. Trying to make our role player stars, our stars role player. That's a disorder, and the team dysfunction.
So that was the playmaker on the radio. Here's the man who makes all the plays for us, Stephen A. Smith. Great to see you as always.
Same.
He said similar things on First Take
when
you guys were together on Monday. What do you think of that? The idea that when the money was on the line, all those highly paid big stars with the stars on their helmet didn't come up big.
I'm trying to figure out why you have this serious look on your face like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. I told you it was going to happen. I told you all year it was going to happen. This is what they do. I mean, Dak Prescott, he doesn't show up when it counts. Ezekiel Elliott, he didn't show up when it counts. CeeDee Lamb, even though he had a couple of big plays that were called back for penalties that weren't attributed to him, he wasn't what he was supposed to be. Amari Cooper is the $20 million man. He wasn't supposed to be. You had offensive linemen getting penalties at the wrong time. You had defensive linemen picking up three penalties in the fourth quarter. Randy Gregory sitting up there hugging Armstead like that was his woman. Okay, and they're going to turn around and look at the referees and say, what did I do? This is what they do. And I kept telling everybody, what were my words? I said, be patient, just wait. Just wait. Don't get too excited. I said, y'all go ahead and let the Cowboy fans get excited. It's the NFC least. This is the same organization that had back-to-back-to-back 8-8 season years ago when they lost the last game of the regular season with a division title on the line. And guess what? They lost to every team in the division. One year was the Giants. Another year was the Washington football team. Another year was the Eagles. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. This is who they are. I said it was a black cat running around the franchise. Monday Night Football shows up and a black cat is running on the field when the Cowboys are playing. Just wait. Stop acting surprised. This is what they do. This is who they are. And the reason why the Cowboy fans were at the stadium crying, bawling, is because they really, really believed that these boys were going to SoFi. They really believed it, despite Stephen A. warning them. It will not happen. They didn't want to listen, And now their whole year is miserable.
There was, I can honestly tell you, of the many things that happened when that game ended and your name was trending immediately, that's just sort of very quickly, before I get to the Lakers, which I want to get to with you, and we have an hour-long countdown tonight, a lot of basketball to get
to. That's right.
But we played earlier this morning Mike McCarthy's soundbite saying that his team was nervous, felt nervous to him before the game. We had some raised eyebrows
here. He immediately corrected himself. Right. Listen, we talk for a living and we correct ourselves, crying out loud. The football coach of the Dallas Cowboys is allowed to correct himself. In the moment he said the word nervous, he immediately turned around and changed it to the word angst. I think everybody's overreacting to all of that. In the end, what it came down to is this. San Francisco was ready to ball because they were playing with house money because they had nothing to lose. But because the Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas Cowboys and everybody was bloviating about them throughout the season, once the playoffs finally arrived, they said, damn, we here. Now we got to show up. This ain't just a regular season game. And they weren't ready for the moment. I'm so surprised.
So as the Cowboys are to the NFL, so are the Lakers to the NBA. We've talked a lot about
that. Well, the Lakers, the Lakers got 17 championships, and they did win a couple of years ago. Dallas hasn't won in the last 27 years, but go ahead.
That's fair. I said the point, I guess, is that everyone pays a lot of attention to everything they do, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot on our show in the evenings about how disappointing their season has been. So now Russell Westbrook, you saw it the other night, he did not play the last few minutes of their game in which they lost to the Pacers. And this morning, Woj has some new quotes from him. Here's what Russell Westbrook said in a story that was just posted this morning. He said, was I surprised, meaning that he did not finish the game? Yes. I was disappointed I didn't go back in, but I'm more disappointed that we lost the damn game. Ultimately, you have to be okay when stuff doesn't go well, and I'm okay. I've done everything that's been asked of me here, and I'll continue to do so and ride this out as long as we can toward our ultimate goal, and that's to win a championship. So you said on our show Countdown the other night, change is coming to the Lakers. How does, if any way, does it impact Russell Westbrook and his role there?
Well, this is one of those things that happened. The reality of the situation. First of all, mad respect for Russell Westbrook, who never cheats the game. He always gives 100% effort, even though everybody wants to point to that play where he let Caris LeVert go to his right, which was a boneheaded play. The bottom line is I didn't see a lack of effort. He just made a mistake in how he defended the kid. Having said all of that, Russell Westbrook's lying. Oh, yes, make no mistake about it. He's lost enough game in a Lakers uniform to be less bothered by the loss than he is by the fact that he was benched. Mm. Russell Westbrook doesn't get benched. He can sit up there and say all he wants to, that the loss bothered him. But the fact that this perennial all-star, this future Hall of Famer, this walking triple-double, was sat down in favor of the likes of an Austin Reeves, a Malik Monk, Stanley Johnson, people like that, please. You can talk about a regular season loss all you want to. What bothered you most was the fact that you got benched. Having said all of that, you're leading the league in turnovers. You still don't have a jump shot. You're struggling from the free throw line as well. Russell Westbrook has to get back to what he was when I believe it was the month of February in 2020, where he was player of the month, where he was playing like a monster attacking the basket. Forget about what you can't do. Show the world what you can do. Remind everybody of who the hell you are. You're Russell freaking Westbrook. Attack the basket with vigor. Make them deal with you. Don't deal with the limitations you have that they're trying to expose. Go in attack mode and make them deal with you. Because if you're going to go down, the one thing that Russell Westbrook, I believe, we all believe in him doing, is going down swinging. He's no punk. He's not going to wilt beneath the pressure. He's going to fight. Well, that's how you do it. You attack the basket and you make people deal with you. Because what they're saying to you is, yo, it's a whole bunch of people better than you. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of people better than you. There's a whole bunch of people that give teams a better chance to win than you, Russell Westbrook. That should offend him. He should change his thinking and be in complete attack mode at all times, attacking the basket. Because even though this is the strange part about the other night, he hit 4 of his 6 three-pointers and still got benched. That means they've had a problem with you for weeks, if not months. You combine that with Magic Johnson's tweet and mentioning Jeannie Buss. Like I told you, change was coming. That's one of the change. They ain't finished. If they keep playing this way, it's going to be a change. If it's not a trade, it's going to be a new coach.
Well, very quickly, on this show, I just wanted to take a moment to say, because you talked about it publicly, we are all so relieved that you are well and healthy and back. And I will see you tonight,
yes,
7 Eastern, here on ESPN for Countdown. But everyone else is going to see Stephen A in just a couple of minutes. They're 21 minutes away from First Take. And then we've got a great one tonight. We have an hour-long countdown leading into a huge Eastern Conference matchup. Bulls go to Milwaukee. So you got DeRozan, you got Giannis. They'll probably both be All-Star starters. Again, we have a one-hour countdown tonight starting 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, Danny Graziano, let's run the hurry up. We got coaching stuff. Where do we stand with the Giants?
Giants are trying to hire a GM first. That decision could come as early as today. They've completed second interviews with their finalists, and once that happens, they'll start putting in permission slips to interview head coach candidates. They've already got one in on Dan Quinn, who I guess there's some sort of rule around the league. You have to interview him this year. But they'll put more in. You see Brian Flores here from the Dolphins. I think this is somebody I would expect to get some attention from the Giants, along with several other candidates, of course, depending on who the GM is as well. Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs offensive coordinator, interviewing today with the Denver Broncos. Noteworthy because this is the only interview right now that Eric Bieniemy has scheduled in this cycle. And this is a guy that last year and the year before got quite a few interviews and still hasn't landed that head coach job. So you do wonder if time is running a little short on his window, and maybe he can talk his old buddy George Payton. They were together in Minnesota. He's now the GM of the Broncos. Maybe he can talk him into hiring him. Jim Harbaugh is the coach at the University of Michigan, but the question is, will he want to return to the NFL, where he was once very successful as coach of the 49ers? If he does, I think the spot to watch is the Las Vegas Raiders. There is, from what I understand, mutual interest between Harbaugh and the Raiders. Whether it comes to fruition is really anybody's guess at this point, because everybody I've talked to about Harbaugh says he's very difficult to predict. He could stay at Michigan, but if he does end up back in the NFL, I would watch out for the Raiders.
You told us earlier that he's had a contract of some sort, an extension, yeah, however you describe it, on his desk for 2 weeks.
My understanding is he and Michigan have negotiated a new contract that he has the opportunity to sign and accept if he wants, but I think he's waiting to see how things work out with the NFL situation before doing that.
Look, you might have been sitting on the set with us the moment that we reported that Brian Flores had been fired. The first thing I said was, that's the job that Jim Harbaugh is going to get consideration in because of his relationship with Stephen Ross, who was the owner. Ross has come out and said, I'm not going to be the one to take Jim out of Ann Arbor. But if someone's going to take him out of Ann Arbor, it doesn't make any sense to me. Are you hearing anything about Miami or, I guess, anywhere else?
For years, everyone has assumed that the next time Harbaugh became available, that Stephen Ross, who's a huge Michigan backer, would pursue him, as he has in the past. But Ross came out right after firing Flores and said that he wouldn't do it. So I get your point, right? If he's leaving Michigan anyway, I'd rather have him come coach my team than the Raiders. But as of now, we haven't heard anything about that other than what Ross has said, which is that it's a no.
All right. Well, once one of these hires falls, usually it starts like a game of dominoes. So we will see if and when that happens in the next few days. Meanwhile, coming up here, is it possible that Sunday would be Tom Brady's last dance? Will the Buccaneers lose to the Rams? Would he really walk away from football? We're answering all the questions next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and Tom Brady is going to make his 17th career start in the divisional round of the playoffs Sunday. He'll be looking for revenge against a Rams team that beat him in Week 3. Yesterday, his offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich was asked about Brady's future. Here's what happened.
Rob Ninkovich, who played with Tom up in New England, says he wouldn't be surprised if Brady retired after this season is over. Given the level you've seen him play at this year, just an incredible season, would you be surprised?
I mean, I don't know him. Didn't really hear the comment, but Tom's playing at a high level, man. I'll leave it at that.
Now, who's this idiot, Rob Ninkovich?
I don't know.
What kind of thing
know.
Is that?
I mean, stirring it up. With somebody like that, with Rob Ninkovich answering a question that someone asked him, would you be surprised if a 44-year-old quarterback decided to walk away from the game? And you say, no, he's 44 or 45 years old. Mm-hmm. So I think the clear thing is Leftwich said he didn't see the comments. He didn't read the comment.
Right.
In my comment, I never said retirement once. I never said Tom Brady will retire. And we even clarified we are not stating that Tom Brady is retiring after this season. Mm-hmm. I said that it wouldn't be surprising if a 44, 45-year-old quarterback or football player decided to do whatever he wanted
to do. It happened here, for the record. I was the one who asked you the question. You
know, think about this. At a certain point, do we want to see the end of a great player, or do you want to see somebody just decide on his own terms? Like, listen, I've done everything I've ever wanted to do. I have built everything that I've ever wanted to build. I have more championships than anyone ever. So it's up to Tom if he wants to play till he's 70. He's going to play till he's 70. I don't think it would be shocking for a player that has never played at the age of Tom.
He's kind of doubling down.
Well, now, what was funny, look at Graziano.
This is why when I was a football player, I had people's faces with X's through them because I said, nope, that guy, Graziano, nope.
That's it.
And now interviews from Graziano.
Now there's a picture of you just like that.
Right? no more, you know, Brady brand t-shirts or hoodies for me.
The irony of it is, when you said it, we talked about it on Wednesday. Right after you said it, I said, let's make sure no one goes out there and says, Rob Ninkovich says Brady is going to retire. It's clearly not what you said, but you know what? Well, I kind of like it better this way.
There'll be more questions
I'm running out of time. Bucks minus three, taking on the Rams. We've got to make our picks. Graziano, who do you like in this game? Go.
I'm taking the Rams in what's obviously Tom Brady's final game in the NFL.
Ninkovich says so.
According to Rob Ninkovich, former Brady teammate. Look, I think the Rams defensive front will be the difference, and Stafford will hold off the turnovers one more week.
It's one pick for LA. How about you, Ninka?
Von Miller, Aaron Donald, a beat up offensive line, Rams.
Look how painful it is for you to pick against Brady.
Well, now that they're on
it
the out.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter now. I'm out of the circle.
Sacha, who do you like?
Since Nico hates Brady, I'm going to go with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Nico, I got your back. I'll take the jerseys. I'll take the T-shirts. I'll take the TV12 branded gear. TV, holler at your boy. I got you.
That's going to be a question to Brady in the postgame. Yeah. Rob Ninkovich said he hates you on TV on Friday. Yes. Do you have any reaction to that? I got the Rams. I said it Monday.
This is a
terrible matchup for the Bucs. They are banged up in exactly the place you can't be against this team. Quickly, let me go to the other game. Our football power index gives the Packers a 65% chance to win Saturday night. They were the only unbeaten team at home this year. They're only 7-6 in home playoff games since 2002. They've actually lost the most home playoff games of any team in the league the last 20 years. They're a 5.5-point favorite. Graz, you've got this game this weekend. Who do you think wins?
I think the Packers win. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a mission. Spoiler alert, I'm going to pick him next week, too.
Okay, fair enough. Who's next? Ninko, who you like?
I'm going with the Packers. I think that it's going to be just a tough game for the 49ers, traveling, short week, cold temperatures. Dan, get ready. Put your snowmobile suit on.
I'm good.
It's going to be cold. Hand warmers.
Sacha, who you got?
I'm going with Green Bay as well. San Francisco had a huge win in Dallas last week. You get a little bit confident with wins like that. Green Bay is a sleeping giant. They're sleeping because we've all been sleeping on them. They're the number one seed with the bye week. Green Bay will win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers too, where we're rounded out. To me, this is a scheduling win. They've got such an advantage in rest and health, and the 49ers, we've talked about it all week long. It was interesting, early in our program today, Ninko, you said sometimes that team that has all the additional rest comes out a little sluggish. Yeah. So that'll be something to watch for. But to recap, by a vote of 3-1, we liked Tennessee today. By a vote of 3-1, we liked Buffalo today. Mm. By a vote of 3-1, we liked the Rams today. And by a vote of 4-0, we liked the Packers today. So those are the official picks from here on Get Up, Read 'em, and Weep. Meanwhile, the X Games get underway for the 21st straight year from beautiful Aspen, Colorado tonight on ESPN and the app. 10:30 Eastern, we'll have men's snowboard superpipe and snowboard knucklehuck. That's on the way tonight after the NBA here on ESPN. Meanwhile, top of the hour coming up. First Take is on the way. Aaron Rodgers, the baddest man left in the playoffs. Is he? They'll answer that question. And who's a bigger disappointment, the Lakers or the Cowboys? Molly, Stephen A., Perk, and Swagoo on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UFC 270 is Saturday night from the Honda Center in Anaheim with two title fights. Prelims are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus starting 8 Eastern, followed by the main card on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, this is how we make our predictions. We do Monday morning headlines. Graziano, what's the headline going to be Monday?
Josh Allen and the Bills knock out the Chiefs, ending Kansas City's streak of three straight AFC Championship game appearances.
I like it. He's been red hot. He beat them, obviously, during the regular season. And you think that he's going to do it again Sunday. That's the last of the four playoff games this weekend. Ninko, what is the Monday morning headline?
The Matthew Stafford trade pays off for the Rams. Big time. They went out there. They knew they needed the quarterback to get the job done, to get where they wanted to be, back in the Super Bowl. And with that Matthew Stafford trade, this team has been is a different team. They're running on all cylinders now. They got Cooper Kupp. They got OBJ. They're rolling.
I like it. Acho, give me one. What's the Monday morning headline going to look like?
Third time's a charm. Green Bay's back in the NFC Championship game. They face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, except for this time, they've got the advantage. Green Bay beats Tampa. Actually, they win now. Then they go and face Tampa, then beat Tampa in the NFC Championship game.
How about that? That will be. He gave you this week's headline and next week's headline. Mine is going to say, the king is alive. Long live the king. The return of Derrick Henry. Every indication we have, including from Graziano here, is that Henry is going to play and that Henry should be clicking on all cylinders. What'd you say? They said he's a machine?
He is a machine.
That's a scary machine to have running at you if you're Cincinnati. When he's got fresh legs, I like Tennessee and Derrick Henry. In the meantime,
Dan
is off to Green Bay. Cindy, let's get there. Ninko and I had the exact same reaction.
Which that's not enough.
That's not enough.
Not enough.
Is that just your layer?
You
is that just like a lower layer?
I don't have to play.
No.
I'm just going to stand out there and hold a microphone, and then when the red light goes off, I'm going to duck back inside.
If you were playing, you would be actually warm. If you're standing there, you're going to be an ice cube.
Would you be wearing sleeves if you were playing in this game?
No. You don't wear sleeves. Linebackers don't wear sleeves, Sacho. Come on.
Ninko said it. Linebackers don't wear sleeves. No sleeves. Unless it's really cold, then maybe you do.
You just know you put the Vaseline. I'm telling you, Sacho, you know this. When it's before the game, it's really cold. You go, there's a table usually with a bunch of stuff, you know, Vaseline. You take a big scoop of it, you put it on your arms, and boom, you're ready to go.
I would do that too, and then I would put what Graziano is wearing over it. I would have the Vaseline underneath all of these layers.
Anything messed up.
Stay warm traveling. If you're in the Detroit airport today, you might run into this man. Safe travels. Enjoy the football this weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.
Bye-bye.